Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior today. Good to see you all here. And we have been, by God's grace, seeking to expound upon the Sermon on the Mount. And today we are at message number 11, and we're in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. So I invite you to open your Bibles, Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or a snake? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, we humbly ask of you that you would anoint your word. Father, that our hearts would be captivated, even as the audience was when Jesus gave these words. They were amazed, they were astonished, they were touched. Oh, Father, please do not pass us by. We are poor and needy. Touch us. Lift us up out of low living. Lift us up out of complacency. Lift us up out of unbelief and doubt and fear. Oh Lord, speak life to our hearts, that our faith may be great in our great God, in our good Heavenly Father. Lord, have mercy upon me, your servant. Oh, that I could speak it as I ought, as is fitting, as is right. Your holy, powerful, inspired, living word. Oh, Father, touch every one of us. Do not pass any of us by. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The title is Disciples Indeed. They ask, seek, and knock. Disciples indeed are not satisfied where they are. They are secure in where they are in Christ Jesus and the work that Jesus has done in their hearts and the adoption of sons and daughters into his very family and presence. But they keep on asking and they keep on seeking and they keep on knocking and desiring. Oh, blessed. Remember the words in the earlier sermon that Jesus gave? Oh, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, there's something wrong when I'm not hungry. When I no longer am hungry and desire food, I'm sick. Are you sick this morning, or are you full of hunger for God? Oh, blessed, happy, to be envied are those who have an appetite for the things of God and desire God, righteousness, holiness. A little recap here this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek, those who are of gentle, kind-hearted, sweet-spirited. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, but pity and have hearts move with compassion upon those who are angry an angry person. Have mercy and pity those that are bound in addiction of impure thoughts. They're looking upon God's created woman in created in his image with lust. Impure thoughts. Have mercy and pity those poor folks and speak to them that there's deliverance in Christ Jesus. You can be set free from your porn addiction. What about the scourge? The curse, the wreckage, the ruin of marriages ending in divorce. And then go and find another and remarry. Jesus said, whoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. How come have the churches weakened on this to the point they have that the divorce rate among professing Christians is almost equal to the atheist non-Christian in America? Whosoever shall marry her that is put away committeth adultery, and no adulterer shall enter heaven. Pity those who all their actions and deeds they do to be seen of men and to get praise of men. They love the praise of men, Josiah, rather than the praise of God. So they positioned themselves in a way that they could try to get both. But it is impossible. They followed afar off. It does say there were some that believed, but they wouldn't openly confess Christ because they didn't want their life to be turned upside down and to be persecuted and to be put out of the synagogue. I don't know what God's going to do with them. They're in his hands. God is a righteous judge. But I pray that today we would not be ashamed of our testimony of Jesus. Pity the man who's wealthy with material goods and money, but is not rich toward God. Pity those who lay up treasure on earth and build bigger barns so they can store their treasures, but they have no treasure in heaven. They have no eternal salvation. Their moth and their rust is cankered up against them. It'll be a testimony against them in the day of judgment. Pity those who judge others and are critical of others, and like that righteous Pharisee, stand in their hypocritical righteousness. I'm not like other men are. I pray, I fast, I give. I'm not like that wicked sinner over there. Oh, God, deliver us from judging, condemning others, but that our hearts would weep with the lost and those that are held captive in Satan's bondage and grip of sin, and that our hearts would be moved with compassionate mercy and kindness. We turn a corner now. Hallelujah. I told Janice, I'm so excited to preach this, that I get to share this. The heart of our Heavenly Father in speaking through the anointed Son, giving us these words, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, this has a continued, a present continuous tense that we ask and we keep on asking. We ask and we keep on asking. We seek and we keep on seeking. We keep on knocking. I wonder how many times I stopped too soon in asking. I know all of us, I would expect in this room, many of us, we would have testimonies of asking and finding and having answered prayer, where God came through in a way that was just so beautiful and encouraging. Asking, seeking, and knocking. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, Jesus was very good at illustrating his truth by telling stories. So he took a story that they could all relate to, and he said, which of you fathers, if your son comes and asks you for food, comes asking for bread, are you going to give him a snake? Now, there might be a few very demeaned, ungodly fathers who would give their children a snake. But he says, if you being evil, in other words, evil by nature, with that evil nature, even in that state, you know how to give a good gift to your children. How much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Oh, brothers, sisters here this morning, I think so often I sell God out so short. He says, ask and you shall receive. But you know, it takes a beggar mindset. If I have everything I need, and if I'm all well supplied, I may not see the destitute poverty of my soul, and I don't ask. You know, a lot of us didn't have to worry about, well, what are we going to be clothed with, or what are we going to eat? We have nothing in the house, and we're poor, and we have no money, and, you know, we're not in that case at the present. We are so affluent in our society. Oh, God, deliver us from the mindset of, I'm full, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. You know, it's the humble who recognize that without Him, I'm utterly lost, I'm utterly nothing. Without Him, I can't do anything. But through Him, hallelujah, who strengthens me, I can do all things through Christ. How much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Now, there are conditions in the Scriptures in receiving what we ask for. And we do well to take heed to those Scriptures and what they teach us. In 1 John 3, he says, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. And we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We are obedient children. We love His commandments. Are not grievous to us. We embrace them. And where it cuts into our flesh, we deny our flesh. And we die to ourselves. And we embrace the commandments of the Lord. And we delight in them. And we do those things because we love our Heavenly Father. And we want to please Him. Not ourselves. Just like Jesus, He pleased not Himself, but He pleased His Heavenly Father. So as we ask, are we on praying ground? Are we in that place of worshipful, joyful obedience to our Heavenly Father? And we have confidence toward God, and our heart doesn't condemn us. We're not two-faced. Outwardly, we appear as to be righteous and holy, but inwardly we know, oh, I'm failing here. I'm disobeying God here. No, we have a clear conscience. Our heart is free, and our heart doesn't condemn us. We're free before God, and we can ask. And know He hears us. His ear is open to His children's cries and prayers. There's another condition found in 1 John 5:14. This is a confidence, again, he uses that word. This is a confidence we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we shall have the petitions that we desired of Him. Oh, that's beautiful. You know, I don't boast in asking the Lord for material things, although we may ask for material things. And it's right. I think we should. We should ask for our daily bread. Jesus taught us. We should ask for those things that we have need of. But I believe one of the reasons that we maybe don't see more answers to prayer is because we are not asking according to the will of God. What does it mean according to His will? Well, that's which is consistent with God's nature, God's character, and God's purpose for your life. God's plan. Lord, Not my will, but thy will. I ask, O Father in heaven, for good gifts that you know will be good for me. So it's good for us to seek the face of God, to seek his will, and to be filled with the knowledge of his will, as the Apostle Paul taught us, that we should be filled with the knowledge of his will, not walking in our own wisdom or smartness or my own will and desire, but to be filled with the knowledge of his will, that we can pray and our prayers are aligned with the will of God. Well, sometimes we ask and we receive not, because we're asking with wrong motives. In James 4, he brings it out so clear. You lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. So you fight and you war and you try to connive this thing to get it to work and to get what you want. Fight and war. Get on the top of the pile. Make more money. Oh, my brother or my sister is favored and highly esteemed. How can I taint their testimony and get my testimony above theirs? It's awful. Human nature, carnal nature, is awful in its flesh. Instead of surrendering and bowing and putting others first and preferring them, we want to be first. And so we fight for position. We fight for recognition. We fight for that prestige and that honor. Oh, God, have mercy upon us and forbid that that should be among us. You ask, but you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You ask with wrong motives out of selfish and unrighteous agenda. So that when you receive what you're asking for, you may splurge it or spend it upon your own lusts and passions and pleasures. So you ask and you receive not, because the motives aren't pure. And then he makes this little interesting statement. You have not because you ask not. Did you ever experience it where maybe a spouse or a child, they really needed something from you, but they were sort of maybe afraid to ask or somehow intimidated, and they didn't ask, and you found out later they so much wanted to ask, they so much desired. But they were afraid to ask, so they didn't ask, and so they didn't receive. Am I that way before my Heavenly Father? I'm not sure God would be pleased if I came and I asked him. I'm a little bit intimidated Oh, I would long to see abundant grace in my life, in my heart, to overcome that fear or that anxiety. But I don't know if I may ask. And so I don't ask. With specific petitions. See? Being specific. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, sometimes I'm ashamed to be bearing your testimony. I sort of stick out. I don't really blend in. People look at me sometimes a bit strange. But you know, to just be honest with God, say, Lord, I admit, I'm ashamed, I'm afraid. Lord, I ask of you to deliver me from my fears. Forgive me for being ashamed. Cause faith and courage to rise in my heart. And you know, you keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. I'm not satisfied, Lord. I know you have so much more. Your storehouse in heaven is full and overflowing. And you delight to give good gifts to your children. Oh, today my heart is just burning with desire that we would be stirred up to righteous, holy asking according to the will of God and receiving abundant, overflowing measure of whatever we need. There's another very key element here. In James chapter 1, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God's testimony is unfailing. He gives liberally, and he doesn't upbraid or chide. Why are you coming again? Didn't you just beg me yesterday? Ah, Lord, it's me again. Yes, it's me again. And God says, welcome, my son. Come to me. With all your heavy laden labors, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you need, come, I'll give you. Our benevolent Heavenly Father gives liberally. And he doesn't chide us for coming. But, James 1:6. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith. Oh God, you're a good, good Father. And you give good things to those who ask you. Lord, I believe you're going to give to me that good gift that I'm asking you for. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wow, that is convicting. That is challenging. When we ask, we ask in faith, believing. We don't flip-flop. We don't waffle back and forth. Like a double-minded man. One day, because I feel good, I'm going to ask. Next day, I'm down. Oh, you know, and we're all over the map with our emotions. We don't go by our emotions and feelings. We ask in faith, believing God. very quickly, we're just going to have the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing of the Word of God. We're just going to step into the ministry of Jesus and look how he ministers and exhorts and encourages and illustrates this thing of asking. Luke 11, verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is coming to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. You know, Jesus just illustrated it with the most outlandish, if I may say that. I mean, I'm not trying to accuse Jesus of being outlandish, but what I mean is he used a story that was like, we can relate to, we can connect to. Corey, if I come and knocking on your door at midnight and, you know, you and Abby and your children are, you're sleeping and it's like, you know, hey, I think I hear somebody at the door and Abby's kicking your leg and you're in deep sleep and, you know, trying to get you awake and, you know, he just used such pertinent example to say, you know what, even in the worst case midnight sleeping example, look what he says. Though he will not rise and give him because his friend, but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Well, what does that importunity word mean? Well, it just simply means he kept on knocking. His persistence and boldness. Oh, he says, come boldly and enter in to the presence of the Lord and ask. And I say to you, then he goes on and gives this lesson. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, knock, shall be opened. And then he gives this story again. Parallel passage. If a son asks bread of a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give. Now here he words it a bit different, or it is differently recorded by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How much more shall he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to walk in victory and overcoming every fiery dart of the enemy throwing towards you, against you? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. Very quickly, Luke 18:1, Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make a point. That at all times they ought to pray and not to faint or give up and lose heart. And then he gives this story about a judge who did not fear God and a widow woman who was very needy. And she comes to this judge and says, give me protection from my adversary. And for a time he would not. And he said, even though I don't fear God or respect man, but because this widow keeps coming to me, she keeps bugging me and bothering me, I will give her justice and legal protection. And I'm reading out of the Amplified. Otherwise, by her continual coming, she will be an intolerable annoyance to me and wear me out. Jesus gave that illustration to teach us that we ought to always pray and not faint or give up and lose heart. Then the Lord says, listen to what the unjust judge says. Shall not our just God defend and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Look at that. Look at those words. They cry to him day and night. They are persistent. I tell you, he will defend and avenge them quickly. However, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find this persistent faith on the earth? I need to give us one more example of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus was over there by the coast of Tyre and Sidon and was ministering to the people. And there was this woman that came out of Canaan coast and cried unto Jesus, "Lord, have mercy, O Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. Did she just hang her head and say, "Well, I guess I'm not good enough, I'm not important enough for Jesus to give me any time or attention," and walk away? She didn't. According to the narrative, she got after the disciples, whoever was close enough that she could get to. Maybe she got after Peter or James or Bartholomew, I don't know which ones she was getting after. But it says his disciples came to Jesus and besought him, saying, "Send her away, because now she's crying after us." So Jesus is continuing his ministry, and this woman out of Cana, she is bugging the disciples. "All right, I can't get to Jesus, but I'll get to the disciples. Maybe they can get to Jesus for me." And she was persistent. And so the disciples, you know, they came and they said, "Send her away. She's now crying after us." And then Jesus said this, and she heard what Jesus said. Jesus spoke it loud enough to his disciples and in her hearing and the crowd there, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And when she heard that, she came and she worshiped Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus said, "It is not meet or right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Whoa. Jesus. Yeah. She is, according to Strong's definition, she is a Canaanite woman. She is a Gentile woman. She is not part of the Jewish lineage and culture and society. She's not part of the Jewish lineage, so therefore, Jesus is sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to the Jews, not to the Gentiles at this moment, as what he was teaching there. And she, hearing that, she said, "Yeah, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog." She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It's like Jesus ramped up this whole teaching of how we ought to pray and not faint. He kept ramping this thing up to the point where here in this situation, he agreed with the general society consensus that Gentiles, by the Jewish mindset, they're just dogs. And he put that to her. But that did not dissuade her. It is so interesting. She said, "Okay, this is true, Lord. But the dogs," or the little puppies, if you read it into the description, "they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And that so connected with Jesus on her faith in him that he said to her, "Great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Ask, seek, knock. Keep on asking, no matter what the impossible situation, no matter what it looks like as an obstacle or a closed door. And other people tell you, oh, you shouldn't. No, keep on asking. You know, sometimes well-meaning people can discourage us from our persistent, tenacious, faithful asking. There are multitude of testimonies of those who would not give up in asking according to the will of God for the salvation of souls. And some of those prayers were not answered until they were dead and gone. But they were answered. We know, brother, sister, I would call out names, but I guess I won't. But brother, sister, all of us here, we know it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and the truth in Christ Jesus. We can pray with authority and with passionate asking and continued knocking for the salvation of our friends, our family members, our neighbors, our lost society, humanity, those lost in nations where the gospel has not been preached. We can pray and we can send and go to those lost where the gospel has not been preached. Well, Jesus gave us some very clear instructions repeatedly. As Jesus was nearing the end of his earthly ministry and headed for the cross, in the Gospel of John, we have it repeatedly. John 14, John 15, John 16. Jesus said in John 14, 13, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name." We don't ask in our own name. We have no ability or authority. But we ask in the name of Jesus. And he says, "I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." He repeats this asking in my name repeatedly. I don't have them all for sake of time. But in John 15, 16, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." John 16, 23, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." John 16, 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Oh, the Christians ought to be the most joyful people on the planet. Yes, because we have a Heavenly Father. Well, I want to bring this to a close with an example. Of a man who wrestled with God. His name was Jacob. Jacob was left alone. Esau, his brother, is coming with 300 men. Jacob is alone at night, and he is trembling. "I need an answer from my Heavenly Father. I need a transformation in my life. And Jacob began to cry out to God. And it tells us that an angel came. As he was praying and crying out to God, and Jacob took hold of that angel and wrestled with that angel. The angel said, "Let me go, for day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you declare, pronounce, bestow a blessing on me." He asked him, "What is your name?" "I'm Jacob." He got honest with God. "Yeah, I am Jacob. I'm the grabber. I'm the supplanter. I'm the conniver who connived Esau out of his birthright, who connived with Laban, who connived with putting the rods in before the flock and herd so that his would multiply. I'm the conniver. I am the supplanter. I am the grabber. I am the heel catcher, even out of the womb." You know, aren't we all born in that sinful nature? We're the grabber. But tonight, Jacob got honest with God, and he confessed who he really was. I believe up until that time, he was a defensive, he was a proud, he was able to manage things well to his favor and get increase. But now, he's facing his brother Esau, and he is in terror and trembling. What's going to happen? And he gets alone with God. Maybe that's what you and I need to do. We need to get alone with God and get honest about who we are and not let God go till he blesses and delivers and anoints and transforms. Jacob, I'm going to bless you. You are going to be so transformed. You shall no longer be called Jacob, the grabber, the selfish, proud, but you shall be called Israel, the Prince of God. Wow. Transformed life. For you have wrestled, struggled with God. You strove, you pressed in, you did not give up. You wrestled all night until day began to break. You know, we don't get this kind of transformation in the drive-through. It's just a little prayer, just a little asking while we're going on our way. And I'm not against asking while we're going on our way. We should pray all the time. Certainly, we can ask while we're driving. We can do whatever. But you know, to get the blessing of the Lord that is transforming, life-changing, we need to get desperate and knock and knock. Not because God is not wanting to give us the blessing. He wants to give you the blessing more than you want to have it. But he wants to know, are you done with Jacob? Are you done with yourself? Do you really want the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost to live a victorious life? He declared a blessing of the covenant promises on Jacob there. And Jacob named the place Peniel, which means the face of God, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, yet my life has not been destroyed or snatched away." And now the sun rose on him as he passed Penuel, and he was limping because of his hip as he wrestled with God. Israel, broken man, blessed man, broken, contrite in heart, God will not despise. I want us to stand together as we bring this to a close now and just allow the Lord to minister to our hearts. Father, this message ends on a bit of a sobering note. Am I one who is not satisfied where I'm at in my present state? And I'm asking, seeking, knocking. Maybe someone here today, like Jacob, needs to have a revelation of Jesus Christ, a wrestling with God, striving, pursuing, fervent, earnest, instead of these little lay-me-down-to-sleep prayers. Oh, Father, forgive us. Lord, I believe you want to give us the blessing even more than we want to receive it. Father, I pray that today our hearts would be filled with faith to believe God for the blessing that we need.